supposed to do like a moment of silence, non-ironically, and then I'll introduce the podcast.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is Saimuk Devongse, the Refugee Genius. She's Convergence's fan-sponsored guest of honor and totally awesome. Check it out.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
I am over here.
And today we have an exciting new guest for the podcast, Saimuk Devongse, the Refugee Genius, the poet, playwright, and fan-sponsored guest for Convergence 2017.
Woo! Yeah, I'm in the house!
Yeah, Mook's in the house!
This is exciting.
That was one of the most exciting beginnings of our podcast.
I think so.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I'd had some music. We could welcome to the jungle. I should have played that before.
We'll put in some
I can edit that in, but I don't do that.
We'll just put in some horns. Oh. It'll be like prom in the background and
like the start of a basketball game.
Yeah, we'll class it up. So you're the fan sponsored guest for this year at Convergence.
Yes, it's such an honor.
Did you see like the Hal organized like a bake sale and some other stuff? And I was so excited to see everyone locally like rally around bringing someone new to the convention, and it just that was how I was introduced to your body of work, was kind of through that and getting involved with that a little bit from Hal. You haven't been to Convergence. This is going to be your first year.
It'll be my first year. But my mentor keeps telling me, my mentor is Brian Tawara.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you heard of him?
We wrote some stuff about the closing last year, and he was, you know, a guest last year. So we got to, that's great.
Yeah.
So I'm like directly
following
his footsteps.
Brian's my friend on Facebook.
Nice. Oh, really?
Your friends on Facebook. He comments on my posts sometimes.
Whoa.
So, wow. Oh, I know.
That's exciting.
I'm kind of a big deal.
What did he warn you about or tell you to look out for, do?
He's been wanting me to attend with him in the previous years, but I've just never had time. And plus, larger cons, I get nervous. That's why I go to MarsCon.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel safe there in that space.
This one's bigger.
Like 7,000.
Yeah, it'll be. But the thing is, like, the beauty of it is you can just stay in one area and see like 20 people, or you can go and see hundreds and hundreds. It's because I'm super I am an outgoing introvert, so I don't like being around people. It makes me really tired, and I can just kind of, I don't get too exhausted or anything. I'm able to handle it, which is saying something.
But I am looking forward to experiencing as much as I can.
Yeah.
But I know that because I'm baking a mammal right now inside me.
Oh, congratulations.
So it's like, I know, I'm like, I need nap times.
Yeah.
I have to like hole up somewhere, carry a cot with me. I don't know.
You have a room. Yeah. There's plenty of time.
You get a room.
I do get a room, but
plenty of time to sleep.
Why do I want to walk to my room? Like, that's
true.
It's not a long walk. It's really not. It's a short walk to the room.
And it's even a short elevator ride.
It's like the guest of honor rooms are pretty swank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You get the best of the best.
I hope they give me tomato juice in that mini bar.
Writing that down.
I don't know. Who's your liaison?
I can
help with that.
Yeah.
It's Kat.
Oh, yeah. Right on. That shouldn't be a problem. Tim's guest of honor guy there.
In mini bar.
Well, since you're making a list.
So for folks who aren't familiar with your work, you're a poet, you're a playwright. Can you tell us a little bit about your poetry and your work?
Yep. So I started writing poems when I was about 12 years old. I just found that was the easiest form of writing for me creatively, mostly because I feel like there wasn't a construct that I had to stay within.
Yeah.
I write mostly free form, unrhymed stuff. And a lot of the themes that I write on are sisterhood, matriarchal relationships, or like refugee identity formations type of and experiences type of poems. But for my theater stuff, I'm more interested in like science fiction and speculative, like really wanting to see what the Lao community experience or whatever could be like years from now. Like, we know where we came from, what our community experience, but what is something that we could look forward to in the future?
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
But it has to have, like, monsters and zombies. And
because you wrote a play called Kung Fu Zombies, right?
I did.
That's,
yeah.
And I, it was on, where it played a bunch of places.
It was first produced in 2013, and it was at the Southern Theater.
Huh.
And
it's
the opening
theater.
Night was the same night as the zombie pub crawl.
Oh, wow.
Which was, Randy Reyes's decision. He was the director and also the artistic director of Mu. And it was great because on the first night, we had people dressed as zombies in the audience.
Oh, that's so cool.
Freaking out all of their old like, what's it called? Those season ticket holders?
Oh, yeah. They were freaking out.
And it was hilarious.
A little bit of culture
really,
shock.
It's really fascinating. I call them the Chanhassen Dinner Theater crowd. For our listeners that aren't from Minnesota, the Chanhassen Dinner Theater is like this theater that's in a southern suburb, very, very suburb.
More
like,
south.
Like
it's
third tier.
It's very close to where Nick and I live.
It's almost rural.
Yeah, it's almost rural. And they stage musicals. And when I say musicals, I don't mean like, I think Rent is too current for their audience.
Oh, yeah. They're doing like Annie, Get Your Gun.
Yeah, Annie, Get Your Gun.
They did Beauty and the Beast. That might be the most recent thing they've done.
And even that feels older than some of the other options. And so they staged, I'm losing your name, from Enchanted. The actress Amy Adams.
Oh, yeah.
She actually got her start at the Chanhassen.
Oh, that makes sense. I didn't know that.
So anyway, she's from Minnesota.
Yeah, she is.
We can claim her.
Yeah.
But totally, does she claim us?
She does. Okay.
She's great in Drop Dead Gorgeous, which is a movie all about small town Minnesota. I think you would really like it if you haven't grown up here. Yeah.
So anyway, we're not going to make this a podcast about Amy Adams.
Yeah.
Because she's in the house. But I guess I'm just saying that Chanhassen Dinner Theater crowd is like a significant chunk of the theater growing crowd in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. And when they stretch out and go other places, mm-hmm. it's this fascinating mix of audience members. There's the audience members that are the young hipsters that are the uptown people. Mm-hmm. And then the nerds if you're doing something about Kung Fu Zombies. And then there's the Chanhassen Dinner Theater crowd. And they sit there politely and they watch the show and they get up at the end of the show and they smile politely and they leave. And you're never really going to know what they thought.
They probably will say, that was very nice, and I thought that was quite interesting.
What an interesting show she put on.
Good job.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I know how I'm a playwright as well, so that's how I understand the audience thing, that there are those people in the audience. You're like,
you,
wow.
It was a very diverse audience. Yeah. We had like people who were hip-hop fans, and people who were following him came, my husband.
He's in the room, we should mention.
Yes, we got Akeem here.
Cool Akeem. I tried to say when you guys walked in, I'm like super self-conscious and trying not to geek out a little bit. Like I went to Southwest High, like when Slug was at Washburn.
Oh.
Dessa was 1 year ahead of me at the same school. Yeah. So like Rhymesayers has been important to me from adolescence.
Kid?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Hi. Now I'm embarrassed.
So, but then, like, I also said to myself, I'm totally not going to make this about you, so we have an excuse to have you on sometime, because that'd be awesome.
Yeah, but this about me today?
It is.
Oh, my God.
It is. And speaking of you...
Mooks is in Mooks, the house!
You mentioned, a refugee-centric science fiction, because that's important to you. You're a refugee. It's in your refugee-ness. It's right there in the name.
When did you come to Minnesota?
I was 3 years old. I was born in Nong Khai refugee camp in Thailand. And then 3 years old when we came here to Minnesota. And I just remembered like feeling cold air hit my face. It was like dead ass winter and I hated it.
It must have been so different. Like I can't even.
I still hate it.
Was it? I remember seeing Eritrean students in my class see snow for the first time. Mm-hmm. And like, kind of freak out a little and like no, super adorable, like excited, happy.
At St. Kate's, the Nigerian girl that was staying on our floor like panicked, like she thought that the world was ending. She was very, very afraid.
I could see why. I mean, everything's turning white. Like,
well, yeah, like she woke up and everything was different. Just like, what happened?
What? How? How is that? That seems to be like the lens through which you view and write art. Mm-hmm. How is that? Like, I can't do anything but try to empathize and understand that point of view, because it's so different than anything I've ever experienced. Yeah. How do you think that kind of shapes what you create?
Mm-hmm. Well, for a big chunk of my life growing up, I really had a hard time forming that identity, because there's this connotation with the word refugee and that identity as a group of people who are displaced, who are taking up resources, who are abandoned or throwaway, you know?
Yeah, huddled masses. Yeah.
So for a long time, a lot of my friends and I would or tell people we were immigrant, because that was a more acceptable way of saying that you're not from here, but you're here now, right?
It's more of a choice. You get more agency than fleeing. It's right. More of a, we came here on our own. We didn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
And so, and then I didn't start thinking about, like, my story until high school. Because in history class, there was a huge chunk of the Vietnam War that was left out. And that was the narratives about the Lao people.
Yeah.
And the Hmong, and, you know.
Absolutely. So
that was like a major disconnect for me. And I kept thinking, but this war brought my people here. Or, like, you know, well, the Secret War was a proxy war of the Vietnam War. But that brought my family here. Like, why isn't my story being told?
Why aren't we talking about the Lao? Why aren't we talking about the Hmong?
I mean, yeah.
Especially given the Twin Cities have a sizable refugee population.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
From those countries.
Yes.
I mean, that at one point we had a larger concentration of refugees from those countries than any other city in
the United States.
Yeah.
I think that still might be the case.
The Lutheran social services in the churches.
Really? Huh.
Yep. Mm-hmm. They were huge supporters of resettling.
Was there a lot of, like, outreach or, like, missionary work in the sense of them, like, coming to actually bring people over, or was it just more of an acceptance once you got here, do you know, or?
I don't know how that worked.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You were 3 years old. Jeez, right? Mooks, get it on the trolley. Come on.
I just pulled my name out of the hat, and they were just like, you can come to Minnesota.
Wow.
Okay. Seriously?
No.
Oh, God. Because I'm like, that's crazy. That's...
No, they put me through a vetting system. I was like 3, taking tests.
Oh. No. That wouldn't surprise me either at this point.
I had to make sure you weren't a terrorist.
Of course.
Oh, geez. You
know. No, we didn't have terrorists back then, Tim. Don't forget.
Oh, that's right. Terrorists are a new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right, though. I feel like even if you're not aware of it, or you're not thinking about it, or if it's not part of your life, there's definitely, like, cultured baggage that comes with the term that is inferred by people.
Yeah.
And isn't implied at all necessarily.
Right.
When did you take the ownership of the word refugee and make that amazing portmanteau of refugee genius, which is like the greatest thing I've ever heard?
Mm-hmm. I was about 13.
Yeah.
Because I kept hearing my family talk about, oh, refugee. The word is opinyop.
Okay.
Which means people who had to leave.
Okay.
Right. And so, so that was something that was, I was like, I'm a refugee. I'm like, I can't. And I was really into science fiction and science at the time. And I'm like, I want to be a genius scientist someday. And so I just was like, refugee genius. And it just came.
Just so great.
Yeah.
It's
but
super
I didn't
clever.
Really start using it until like 2008, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What, but you're coming to Convergence. Uh-huh. You're on a bunch of panels.
Yeah.
You've done panels at MarsCon?
Yes.
Okay. So you're not like, this isn't your first time panel audience. It's just going to be just like MarsCon, but with a couple more people.
Okay.
Like,
and like once you get to like Saturday and Sunday, a little more hungover, maybe even a little more drunk.
Yeah.
The attendees.
Given what was mentioned earlier in this podcast, there's a decent chance she won't be drunk.
I'm not saying her.
Oh,
I'm saying the people
else.
Who are going to be asking
else.
Questions.
Yeah. I'm chocolate wasted, but.
Yeah, chocolate wasted.
Tomato juice wasted.
Tomato juice. I've got the note.
That's great. So you're science fiction playwright. Like,
yeah.
What I know, like, Molly makes board games. She's a board game producer and developer.
That's true.
I would love to test out your stuff.
Hell yeah. Test Always. Hold on. Write that down.
I know that other women in our lives have expressed things like gatekeeping in science fiction. I know that's a problem for people of color, for women, for anyone in the queer community. Which is odd because the nerd community originally was like outcasts and weirdos and people who didn't fit somewhere else and liked the shows that no one else liked and stuff like that. Has there been any of that like uphill or resistance with nerd folk?
I think the only people that question my nerdiness are my friends, my close friends. Because, I mean, I don't know all the episodes of Firefly.
They probably just think you're too cool.
Like, there's only like 8 of them, right?
Exactly.
They just think you're too cool to be a nerd. Like they deny it because like nah, she's not a nerd. Like
nerds ain't cool.
I feel like there are different, like I don't know, pockets of nerdness.
Oh yeah.
Nerdness.
Oh yeah. For sure.
Right.
No doubt.
I think nerd cliques have become more pronounced as nerd has become more acceptable.
Well, and some people, like, you can get people going on. You want to have fun at a panel, just be like, somebody define the difference between a nerd and a geek for me, and watch people just, like, their brains melt because they're trying to tell you why they are a geek but not a nerd, or why that's a nerd and this is a geek. And, yeah. Like, it's kind of crazy.
I still don't know what the difference is.
There isn't. It's semantics.
Okay.
I'm sure, like, there's some hair-splitting dictionary difference that is irrelevant at this point. I do
remember being young and watching Bill Nye the Science Guy and thinking he was cool,
right?
And I wanted to be like him. And then watching in Family Matters, there's Urkel.
Yeah,
yeah.
And his portrayal of
him
was, I don't know, it was funny, but at the same time, it was kind of
kind of mean. I remember thinking like, well, that's me. Like that's 100% the me in the, like I'm the Urkel in any situation and like cuz it's the accident, like the whole did I do that, like whatever, is so just me accidentally screwing everything up again, and then like everyone cool being like, "Oh, Molly."
I want to see that sitcom.
Ugh, yeah, it's called Junior High, and it was pretty awful. What was the first like science fiction you can remember loving?
Oh, well, it would probably be considered Lao science fiction.
Yeah.
My dad used to tell me stories. There were these Buddhist origin stories.
Oh, that's so cool.
They're called Jataka Tales. And
how do you spell that?
J-A-T-A-K-A.
J-A-T-A, Jataka. Okay, that's so
J-A-T-A.
Cool.
Yeah. No, but he would tell me these stories about how wizards or like trolls or giants would come take princesses away, or like how these Nox, which are sea river creatures, would like shoot out these beams, or I don't know. It was like all over the place, and I just really loved that. My mom also loved watching Thai movies that were fantasy. And so there were a lot of ogres, and there were like these giants that were cannibals, and they would go and they would turn into these giants that would raid villages for a bride or whatever and eat them. And, and I was 4 or 5 years old watching this stuff. Like, why are you guys letting me watch this stuff? But it's no tolerance, right? So
I
understand why giants are always portrayed as cannibals. It feels kind of racist.
I think it's just old folk tales.
Specious.
Mom was super. My mom was. We could watch anything violent as long as it didn't have a gun, because she figured that like it would be very unlikely that we would find a sword and kill each other with a sword. So we were allowed to watch anything with swords or magic or like fire or whatever. So
magic has never killed anybody, right?
The Renaissance festival.
Exactly. Because she's like, oh, what are the odds you're gonna find? You're gonna go to your friend's house and find their loaded sword and accidentally kill your friend with it.
So high.
Yeah, pretty high these days. What have you been to the Minnesota Renaissance Festival?
No.
Do you want
to? Okay.
I feel like you need to go if you like fantasy.
I feel like I'm scared to go.
Really?
Well, I have a big thing about general public in outdoor spaces.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. That's all that is. It's 100% outdoors.
I do want to. I want to try the turkey legs.
Oh yeah. You know what? Here's what we could probably do. I bet we can get you 2 tickets, and then you can just go, and it's no obligation, and you don't have to feel like you paid, and then you can stay an hour and go home again. Okay. Like
No
absolutely.
Get that turkey leg and bounce.
Yeah, we can totally do that for
turkey
you guys.
Turkey legs are right by the entrance.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Just walk in. You'll be like, look around. You'll be like, oh, I get it, hippies, and then you'll leave.
But I realize there's a visiting professor at the U of M at the Institute for Global Studies where I work, and she was just telling us of all these Minnesotan things that she was experiencing because she's from, like, I think she's from like Finland or something.
Sure.
I'm sorry if I got that wrong, but
she probably doesn't listen. It's okay.
Yeah.
We're good.
She probably listens to, like,
do you want to call her names? You could get away with, you'd probably get away with that.
And I'm thinking, wow, I've been in Minnesota since I was 3, and I still haven't experienced a lot of these Minnesotan things that I should probably be exploring, like the Renaissance Festival, Convergence.
Well, you're going to do one of those this year.
Yeah,
so that's
right.
Good.
Yeah, no, go get in the water slowly, like whatever. It's no rush. That stuff will be there. You mentioned, like, the, like, Buddhist creation myth or creation stories. Mm-hmm. You said you were raised Buddhist.
Yep, raised Buddhist.
Is it an important part of your life now?
I think in some ways it is. It's like residual, right?
Sure.
I mean, I don't... Well, for my family, we're Theravada Buddhists. And so we believe that Buddha was just a dude that had lived and had some cool things to say and pass it on. So there's nothing magical about him. Like, he doesn't float on water or anything like that.
Yeah. Just a dude who kind of had it all figured out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had some things that made sense.
I like that a lot. Like,
that guy had some good ideas. Let's remember him and his ideas.
That's like how I feel about Jesus. It's like, yeah, man, he sounds like a pretty chill guy. Like, sounds like a nice dude.
Why are the rest of you so tight?
Yeah. Washing feet, talking to whores. Like, that sounds like a good dude,
banks.
Right? Like, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Flipping tables, whipping Romans.
Right? Yeah. Help the poor, fuck up some banks. I'm on board.
Wine? Hey.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Oh, y'all are hungry? Let me make more fish. Like, that sounds great.
That's interesting. We've had people talk about Buddhism as like a philosophical step away from religion sometimes. It happens a lot with like Wicca and stuff like that. More like recently fictional created earth religion type stuff. Wicca's kind of white people nonsense, but...
Oh, no, I've seen The Craft.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah, super excited in high school to try to make that work. It didn't happen. All the people who are mean to me are still super happy and in love and, like, living their lives. So
there are a lot of people that are leaving some sort of religious structure that are kind of experiment with different things on their way out. And some end up or go through a phase where they certainly consider or adapt kind of philosophical concepts or principles from Buddhism. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's a step towards atheism.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a step towards something else.
Yeah.
Do you feel like white people who become Buddhist are co-opting anything?
Yeah.
Is that
totally
something, like, when you see it, like, when a white person,
when
a white person is like, oh my God, I'm also Buddhist, do you feel kind of like, no, a little
Buddhist,
side eye?
No, because Buddhists don't care.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
I think we're just very chill people. But I do think when that Tina Turner biopic came out, remember when she's like, oh, no, myo roinke?
Right, yeah.
I think that's when it really became popular. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The few people we know who we've had on the show who are theist, if it's not like a Christian version of theism, their theist is very much this, like, spirituality, there's something out there, and it very much feels in that Buddhist principles of, like, we're all connected, and I feel something, and I know something made us because, in that way, and they're always white guys, and so I'm always just like
Richard Gere is a is a big advocate of Buddhism.
He is.
He's been, for years, specifically,
super Buddhist.
Tibetan Buddhist, I think, yeah.
Very involved or advocating for Tibetan politics. That might be related or not. Probably related or you know, got into it from that.
Yeah. Well, one thing that does make me upset about the appropriation of Buddhist religion, whatever, is it really annoys me when I see Buddha heads being used as decoration.
Oh, like
in a picture,
like knickknacks, and
like bookends.
Yeah,
and I've always wanted to make do an installation where I turn it on its head. Well, not the Buddhist, but like other, you know, I don't know.
Make book
something else, Jesus. Yeah.
Because
like whenever there's a modern living like minimalism magazine, it's like, look at my perfect white couch and my multicolored striped cushions, and then there's like this perfect Buddha statue so on an zen. End table. Yeah. Because I am so zen, like super zen. I'm like super into my own in tranquility.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Otherwise, yeah, I get that. Do it with like do they make Jesus busts? I'm sure they do. They make Jesus everything.
Someone can make them.
They don't make literally them. Get anything with Jesus on a cross.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much, if you could.
That guy's ass is everywhere.
You could get a fucking vacuum cleaner with Jesus on the cross.
I need it. When I went to St. Kate's, which is a Catholic all women's college. I'm not Catholic, but my mom went there, so I got a deal.
Nice.
So, but in the women's dorm, the freshman women's dorm, there were four vacuums you could check out, and their names were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Oh my God.
And so we would say things like, I have a date with Matthew tonight, which meant you were cleaning. God, I wish. That's better. It just meant you were vacuuming your small, tiny dorm room, but like, it was,
Or, I don't know.
I don't know what those bitches got up to. I know how to take care of myself sans vacuum, so. I had a progressive mother.
and now I have a vasectomy and you're in birth control, so we don't need to worry about vacuums in any regard.
Jesus Christ. Oh my God, Nick.
Oh, sorry. That's probably awful timing right now.
It's all good.
All right.
Welcome to our podcast.
I like those type of topics.
All right.
Then, Mooks, I got to tell you, you got to come to Vilification Tennis.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
That'll,
yeah.
That's like this podcast, only so much worse.
That's fantastic.
Add vacuum to my list.
Yeah.
She's a vacuum.
Because you never know. You never know.
The vacuum should have a name tag that has, what's
we'll
the name?
We'll name it Thor. The character, not the actor.
Right.
Vacuum named Thor. Got it. So fantastic. Noted.
Oh, man. This stuff is going to be in your hotel room.
And send this email to Tanya. She's going to be like, what the fuck? How did this happen?
It'll be waiting for you, and you'll just like, why is this here again? I don't even.
You're not the liaison for current guests. You're only the returning guest of honor liaison.
Yeah, pregnancy brain, the struggle is real. Like, yo, man, yeah.
I think, do you want to go to five questions?
Let's do it.
So we ask all our, we ask all of our guests five questions. This is our third iteration of those questions. We change them up when they get stale or people lose interest in them or because we feel like it.
Yeah, mostly the latter.
Mostly the latter one. Tim, do you want to start us off with the first one?
I can't wait. Mm-hmm. What conspiracy theory do you find the most interesting or compelling?
People saying that the Holocaust is fake.
That has not been an answer yet.
I mean,
that's amazing.
I studied the Holocaust when I was a sophomore in high school for a whole semester.
I've been to a concentration camp.
Yeah.
And you like walked it. How can you go to a concentration camp and walk around a concentration camp?
Yeah.
Oh, this is fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Set designers.
And it's such a like, it's such, and then they're always like, I don't hate the Jews. I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm just saying they've grossly inflated those numbers. And it's like, why? Mm-hmm. Whose purpose does this serve? Yeah. The Jews. See, here we are. Now we're there.
Yeah.
It just confuses me because I'm just thinking, why are you twisting facts to make it work for how you want to understand the world? Like,
yeah.
That message is a little close to home politically right now.
That question right there, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
is the same question that could be asked of literally every other conspiracy theory.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Question number two. What is your perfect two-week vacation? Money is no object, but the limits of physics still exist.
Okay. So it would be so cool if I could go on a space shuttle.
Yeah.
Just go around the world.
Ooh.
Like, literally. That'd be
cool. Just around the orbit?
Yeah, just around. But it could take its time. It's
yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
Right?
Get some pictures.
But I also know I have motion sickness, so I don't know if that's going to be a problem or not.
I also have terrible motion sickness, and I've always, that's when kids were like, I want to go to space camp, and then I saw a video of the centrifuge thing, and I'm like, oh God, oh no.
Astronaut, you hear about astronauts throwing up all the time, and not all of them have motion sickness. So
right, yeah.
I guess it's not a limiting factor.
Maybe by the time it's cheap and affordable, like space travel, there'll be some kind of drug cocktail for people like us.
I hope Elon Musk comes up with something.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'll send him a message.
Either that or I would go noodle or pasta hopping around the world.
Ooh.
That's what I want to do. I love pasta.
I like that.
A journey of
so
carbs.
So many cultural.
Carbs.
So many cultures have noodles.
Like almost.
And they're all different.
Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like fried chicken in some way or form.
Yep.
Like almost every culture has some sort of like deep fried chicken-ish.
Or sandwiches or like.
Or something.
Like,
yeah.
Or
something
like
deep fried.
It's like barbecue. You know, you go to different regions of the country and barbecue is totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. That's very cool.
Question number three. What's a movie that changed your life? It doesn't have to be positive.
It can also be a book.
Or a book.
If a movie hasn't changed your life and there's a book that has, book is also acceptable. It's a hard one, I know.
Yeah. Well, I used to, one of my middle school friends gave me a book from the Babysitter's Club.
Yeah.
And it changed my life in a way that made me go, I cannot relate to these white people.
Oh, I totally get that.
Except for the one Asian character.
Right? The one Asian character who, like, who's, like, her name is Claudia. It might as well be, like, Claudia Token. Like, it's.
Probably much.
Yeah.
Probably much.
Yeah. Because, like, they overemphasize how she's, like, super, like, not Asian a lot. Like, it's like she's just like us. Like, she wears the same clothes.
Which is almost, like, othering her.
Yeah.
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 Or removing any kind of identity or...
Yeah. It didn't even occur... This is fucking white privilege talking. It didn't even occur to me that someone would read those books and their experience wouldn't just be, oh, these aren't so good, but like, oh, this is 100% never my life.
You know,
and I don't even...
I would never be invited... I've never been invited to like a sleepover by my friends. If it was a sleepover, it was like between my cousins and I. Which
sure.
Is whatever.
Yeah.
Normal.
Family doesn't count.
Yeah.
No. Really don't.
That's an imposition. That's not a sleepover.
No.
That's guess what you're doing today.
Yeah. Come hang out with your cousins. Ugh.
Exactly. But there was a, the first time that I read a Haruki Murakami book was a trip to Italy. I had just gotten off the train and was heading towards, what is the city that the Leaning Tower is in?
Pisa.
Pregnancy
break. Oh, I get it.
So, just gotten off the train, and they had all these different stalls lined up leading to the landmark.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really craving an English language book because I did not carry with me. Like, why would I want to extra whatever?
Wait, when you're backpacking, yeah.
And it was the first book, it said Dance, Dance, Dance. And I was like, oh, that's English. So I picked it up, you know, and it was like €4 and I bought it and just read it, couldn't put it down, read it, finished it in like three days.
That's great.
And it was like this thick, well, you can't see. But,
several inches.
Yeah. But it was
for the listeners, it was very thick.
That's awesome.
That book changed my life.
And Dance, Dance, Dance?
Changed the way that I wanted to write long form.
Yeah.
Which I've never really written long form.
I can't.
But if you ever did.
But if I ever did.
You would credit
that style.
Book. Yeah.
Metaphysical would be that style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Huh.
All right, question number four. What's the geekiest thing you've ever done?
I don't know. I'm pretty cool, man.
You have a lot to pick from,
we
I think.
Not.
Like, you've got a good.
Yeah.
I think Kung Fu Zombies is...
You wrote a play about zombies.
That's pretty geeky.
Super geeky.
Yeah. You're the fan-featured guest at Convergence. That's pretty geeky. Haven't done it yet, but...
Yeah. I think you got... You.
I am very thankful. Yes, you're right. That is probably one of the most geekiest things that I've ever done. And I'm really thankful because a lot of the people that helped make it amazing and successful were people from the geek and nerd community. Hmm. And, yeah, the theater, they took a major risk with it, not knowing if people would be into science fiction.
Right.
And into a story about, a Lao narrative.
Right? Sure.
Because people are not familiar with Laos or Lao people. And it had hip-hop in it, and so really thankful that people came and supported.
Does your family consider you a geek? Like, do they know what that even, like...
I don't think there is that word in Lao.
Yeah. 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 That's really interesting to think that there's an entire, like, culture of people that don't really have that. Something that's such a huge part of my culture. I mean, if I had a culture, that's the one I consider, you know, like, obviously I'm white, but, like, there isn't really white culture.
Yeah.
So, like, geek is what I've got, you know, like,
I think anything that identifies itself as white culture instantly sets off, like, warning.
Right?
Like klaxons in my brain.
If there's
brain,
white culture,
like,
I don't want to be a part of it. That sounds awful.
I'm good.
It's like mayonnaise sandwiches and, like, the Klan and Christianity. Like, that's what that sound makes me think of.
I'm good.
That sounds like...
PBR, like drinking PBR in a kiddie pool. Like, that's white culture.
No, PBR is hipster culture.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Drinking natty ice in a kiddie pool.
Yeah, you drink shitty beer, ironically.
Yeah,
Hey, guys, look at me drinking PBR.
Hey, speaking of drinking, question 5, Mooks, what's your favorite hangover cure?
Pregnancy?
Hey! I mean, I guess it might start when you're drunk, so why not, right?
It snaps you right out of it.
Yeah,
I guess.
Can't even think of why you were... That's awesome.
But usually pho.
Oh, yeah.
I love pho.
Spicier the better, because that really...
Burn it out.
Clears your sinus.
What's your favorite pho place here?
I don't really have one.
Yeah. Where do you like to, like, is there one that you go to more than others?
No reason.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to know for any
Definitely don't want to go there and have our own fun.
There's no personal reason that I want to know the answer to this question. But.
I don't know.
That's all right. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. Yeah, that's cool.
I think we're lucky to have some options.
Yeah.
Where it's not like, what's your favorite one? The one.
Well, we have a friend who was traveling, and she was in some other, like, I think, like, Indiana, Oklahoma, something like that. And she found an Ethiopian restaurant. Uh-huh. And she went in there, and the guy was like, oh, have you had Ethiopian food before? And she said, oh, yes, I'm from Minneapolis. Which is, like, such a weird thing to say, but, like, it's true. Like, we have so many great, like, awesome cultural, like, restaurants here that are actual real food. And it's so cool. Yeah.
I
love pho, by the way.
I think we picked up on that.
A pho, pho hopping.
Yeah.
Mm.
We should do a pho hopping.
I would do that.
Like a pho crawl sounds insane.
Should. Let's do it.
Oh, that sounds so thrilling.
Can we do a zombie pho crawl? Oh,
gosh. What do we... They don't say brains. What do they say as they march? Yeah.
Tendon.
That's how I feel after I've eaten too much. Like, I feel like tendons? A fuzz zombie. Like, no, too much. I get like a liquidy belly from all the delicious broth that I can't help but to drink all of. Like, I can't let it go. It's wasteful. It's too
that's
delicious
true.
To pass
that's
up.
That's true.
And then I sloshy, and it's so worth it.
I've had one pho that was, the broth was really good. It was made out of like mushroom. Mm. It was at Ngon, which is on University.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that place.
These motherfuckers were trying to charge me $9 extra because I wanted more broth.
What? $9 for broth?
It's fucking broth. That's the cheapest part of the...
That's like a buck or two at best.
It's like 10 cents.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, like...
Yeah. I just wanted a ladle. Yeah.
Just like, I don't know, just like dip the bowl a little deeper.
Yeah.
So,
that's fantastic.
Like, forget it.
Fish shaking.
Yeah.
Screw that. That's awesome. Thank you so much for your answers, and thanks for agreeing to be our guest on the podcast.
I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so glad you were here.
Yeah.
It made me super, super hungry, and what? I ate tacos right before.
It is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
What, do you have a website or anything where people can like check out your work or get familiar with your background?
So I can be followed on Instagram and Twitter. I don't tweet once or twice a year. It's at Refugenius, and then my website is SaiMukta, therefugenius.com.
Great.
Excellent.
We'll be sure to get all that linked to the show notes.
Yeah. The episode, which will go up shortly before Convergence. For those of you listening, the Convergence will be coming up, and you can see.
And you can still go.
Yeah. And
at the door.
Yeah. You're, and just like as we go out of here, do you have a couple panels that you're looking forward to or anything specific about Convergence that you want to check out?
Mm-hmm. So my friend Rob and I, we're doing a panel called Refugee Life Hack.
Is that friend of the show, Rob Callahan?
That guy?
Yeah.
That guy. Callahan.
And then we'll be talking about the making of Kung Fu Zombies versus Cannibals, and Akeem will also be on that panel.
Oh, that's awesome.
Myself and Rob.
That's exciting.
Yeah, you're on that one.
You found out when we did.
For those of you listening, he's in the room. So
he's here.
I just found Sai Mukta at Refugee Genius.
Awesome. Follow her. Everyone else should check that out too and follow her there.
I'm totally going to tag her when I tweet about our episodes.
Awesome. Otherwise, we've been Geeks Without God, and you'll have a new episode to listen to next Tuesday, unless you're a Patreon supporter, in which case you get them as we record them and put them up. So just a couple bucks a month, you get all those episodes way early, and if you throw us $5 a month, you get stickers and buttons
and stuff too.
So, and you get stickers and buttons just because you're awesome enough to be here and give us your time.
Stickers and buttons.
Otherwise, leave us a rating on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. We're just Geeks Without God, nothing fancy. And bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey guys, what's your favorite portmanteau?
Nominim.
Sharknado.
Tamagotchi. Wait, Sharknado?
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.